God demonstrates His power and confirms His word with signs following. Join Gloria Copeland and her special guest Billy Brim today on The Believer's Voice of Victory and learn how signs, wonders, and miracles reveal that Jesus is alive.
Hello, everybody. Big news, Billy's back. Glory to God. And boy, are we having a good time. If you missed it, go to the internet and get it. Billy, we like
it.
We like
it. That's right.
Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming. And before He comes, we're going to be witnessing His resurrection. We're going to be walking forth with signs and wonders and miracles and power. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Our church services are going to be filled with the manifestation and power of God. But not only that, our streets and our offices and our homes and our schools.
Bring it on, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We ask you for it, too.
Yes.
Well,
bless
Jesus.
All of us right now, Billy. You lead the prayer.
Okay.
Let's ask Him for it.
Heavenly Father, here we are.
Yes.
Praise God. I knocked my Bible down.
We're
God so
excited.
Filled with the power, I knocked it off. Praise you,
Thank
Jesus.
You, Lord.
Got excited about your power, Lord.
We are excited.
Because
Lord.
You didn't leave us powerless.
No.
Father,
Thank you, Lord.
You said you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Father, whatever the fullness of that is.
The fullness of your will.
In Jesus' name, we ask you for it.
Signs and wonders.
Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might know the power of His resurrection.
All over the world.
And demonstrate it. We're asking you right now. People in that have already, we've read their letters this week in Denmark and in South Africa and in Nepal and in Australia and Europe.
Thank you,
Oh, God, we're so thankful.
We're hungry.
We're so thankful. We're hungry.
Yes.
And together we say, please, Father, show us your power.
Yes, Lord.
And let it be shown through us.
Yes, Lord.
To a dark world.
Yes.
Resurrecting them and showing them the power of your resurrection.
We receive it in
Jesus'
name.
All
over the world right
now.
Oh,
we thank you.
Jesus.
Amen and
glory
amen.
To God. To you be the glory. Hallelujah.
Did you feel that?
Glory to God.
We get those letters all the time and they say, we feel it when we pray together
amen.
In unity. And Jesus did say, you shall receive power.
Yeah.
And there are, if I can still find things now after I've knocked them all around, there are five words in the New Testament translated power. And one of them is dunamis. And that's inherent power. The power of reproducing itself from which we have dynamics and dynamo. And that dunamis power, it's like an explosion that goes off and off and off.
It's not normal
power. It's not normal power. Another power is exousia, translated power. That's authority. But in the plural, this word dunamis is sometimes translated mighty works.
Mighty works.
Mighty works. And it's even sometimes translated miracles.
Christ.
Dunamis, power of God.
Amen.
There's going to be a demonstration of that. And the world needs it and is even promised that demonstration. These signs shall follow them that believe.
Right.
The Lord
the
working
the Lord.
With them is the will
the
of the
will.
Lord. Now, I had of course, the Lord told us to start praying for an awakening in America, in Israel, in the nations. So we're doing it. And then we've been doing that for a while. And then the Lord kind of gave us a further focus, and the focus is to be on the manifestation of the power. And so He used then a man that He manifested the power through, Brother Oral Roberts, to teach me. Now, in 2007, I had gone out to Brother Roberts' house in California with my son, Chip, and Chip was going to go to work for ORU, so we phoned Brother Roberts to see if we could come. He invited us to have a noon meal with him, and we spent the afternoon. We had a Holy Ghost meeting. He wrote me a 7-page letter about it.
Sure, he loved it.
He loved it. And he even said he left his body. And it was quite a day, I'm telling you. On the way out there, the Lord had given me a word for Brother Roberts, which is scary to have the Lord give you a word for Brother Oral Roberts. But when we walked in the house and we had such a Holy Ghost meeting, it flowed. I wasn't afraid. And I knew that Brother Roberts had been trying to go home. Evelyn was gone. He wanted to go. And this was the word God gave me on the plane on the way out there. Tell Oral Roberts some can choose the date of their departure, as it is revealed in the writings of the Apostle Paul, but others cannot. for the dates of their departures are in the sovereign plan of God. Two who cannot choose are Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. Their departures are in the sovereign plan of God, and at their departures, there will be a major shift in the heavenlies. So I gave that to Brother Roberts. The next week, I got this letter back from him, and he wrote this at the last. Finally, please know that I received your prophetic word that in finishing my course, that at my death, something extraordinary will happen by the Holy Spirit. So I got word that Brother Roberts had gone home. He lives in California. I live in Branson, Missouri. I sat down in front of my window with that letter that he'd written in my hand, and I said, Lord, you have spoken that there will be a major shift in the heavenlies, that there will be something extraordinary happen at his passing by the Holy Spirit. What is it? And as I was sitting there, I heard the voice of the Lord. I heard it. He said, Oral Roberts knew to tap the power. Others simply lap the power. They run laps around it as if it were a burning bush. Then thoughts came through my mind. They know about it. They know it's there. They preach about it. But they don't tap it. And then I received from the Lord two Bible examples. One of them, the woman with the issue of blood. He was on his way to Jairus' house to raise up Jairus' daughter. A multitude thronged him. But she had an issue of blood 12 years. And she said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she touched him. And he felt, the Bible says, virtue flow out of him. And that word virtue is the Greek word dunamis, usually translated power. He felt dunamis go out of him, just like Brother Roberts did when he laid hands on Chip's back. He felt the dunamis go out of him. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, who touched me? The disciples said, you see the multitude. What do you mean, who touched you? But he knew somebody had tapped the power.
That's right.
And it was that woman, and he said to her, your faith has made you whole.
Has made you
faith whole. Taps the power.
That's right.
The other example he gave me was what happened at Peter's house. That's where he stayed in Capernaum. And he was preaching to a crowd. Well, the crowd gathered at the house. And it says the power of God was present to heal them.
Yeah.
But them didn't get healed. One man, who Mark Hankins said had four crazy friends, and Mark says everybody needs four crazy friends who would do this. He was a man, a crippled man, sick all of his life. And they carried him on some kind of a gurney up to the rooftop, took the roof apart, and lowered him down. And in the presence of the power. And Jesus said, it says it is written there, he saw their faith.
Yes, that's right.
And that man was made, all their faith, the four crazy friends, the man. And it made that man whole. So faith taps the power.
And you remember Brother Hagin taught us that if anybody, anywhere, would do the same things a woman with the issue of blood did,
yes,
they could receive anything from the Lord.
That's right.
What did she do?
She heard it.
She said it.
She said it, if I may be touches. Yeah. She received it. And she witnessed. She told it.
Amen. And that's where we learn faith. That woman through Brother Hagin.
That's right. And we've tapped into it.
Yes, we have.
We have tapped into it. But there needs to be like a constant tapping of it, you know, that can flow. I'm talking about me and the body of Christ. And the one God showed me was Brother Roberts. Now, when Ken Copeland's February 2010 newsletter came to my house, I was so blessed. He said, I am writing, you know him, don't you, Kenneth Copeland?
I've heard of him.
Yes. I am writing.
He's a very handsome man.
Oh, I thought you would think so, because he thinks you're so beautiful. Dear partner, I am writing this letter only a few days after the dynamic homegoing of my spiritual father, Oral Roberts. As you can imagine, memories and thoughts of my time with him are flowing from my spirit. When Jesus joined me to him 43 years ago, my life began to change drastically. I'll share some of those things. And so this letter is filled with things that he learned, sayings even, that Brother Roberts left with him. And they put all those sayings, this was an enclosure, like a bookmark, in the letter. And it starts with, something good is going to happen to you. Believe it and expect it. These are sayings Ken learned from him that affected his whole life.
Yes, that's right.
And here's another one. There's nothing too big for God. Expect miracles. They come by faith, not by accident. So other things are written on here. Now, you remembered, of course, you're going to ORU. You were in Texas. You were a young couple. You'd been saved how long?
6 months, maybe. Not too long.
Not too long?
Well, when we'd been to ORU, we'd been saved a while, but we didn't know all that much about faith.
But when you were in Texas, the Lord told you to do what?
Well, he told Ken to go up there and enroll as a 30-year-old freshman.
In Oral Roberts University.
Yeah, of course, we were broke and in debt.
You didn't have the money for the tuition?
Huh?
You didn't have the money for
the tuition? No, we didn't have anything. Yeah. We didn't have any money, but we went up there.
You obeyed him.
We obeyed. And Ken enrolled as a freshman.
As a freshman at ORU.
And then he also went up to the Brother Roberts' office, and he told his secretary that he was a pilot. A commercial pilot. Ken was a commercial pilot at that time, and that he was a student. And so Brother Roberts had an airplane, and he needed a co-pilot. And so Ken got that job, which was right at the end of the Crusades, the big meetings where he prayed for the sick. So he was in the last of those meetings. As a co-pilot, he was in those meetings, and as a freshman at the same time.
I've talked to that secretary, had lunch with her about 3 or 4 years ago, and she said, I thought when he walked in that door and said, in the president's office, he went right up to the top and said that he wanted to apply for the job.
You weren't supposed to do that if you were a student.
She was going to get rid of him and took pleasure in it. That upstart coming in here. Yes. And Brother Roberts walked out of his office and saw Ken and heard him, and he said, You have the job. He hired him.
He did.
Because the Lord told him to hire him.
Yeah.
Now, this is Ken's letter. When I arrived at ORU, I was desperate for Jesus' power in my life. You have to be desperate for the power. You have to desire God's power. I read about Brother Seymour in the outpouring at Azusa Street. He was desperate and hungry for God's power. He was praying 5 hours a day. And then the Lord told him, he said, what more can I do? He said, pray more.
You have to be hungry enough.
You have to be hungry.
To do whatever it takes.
Whatever
the Lord tells you to
That's what we have to do. We can't be this lackadaisical church.
We were broke and in debt, and we couldn't even pay our bills. And the Lord says, go enroll as a freshman at ORU.
So you have to be hungry, and you have to be obedient. I love this. Ken said, I was desperate for Jesus' power in my life.
That's right.
What little I'd learned up until that time was very precious to me. But until I obeyed God, I was not where I was supposed to be. When I finally did obey, I realized it immediately. Suddenly the Word began to explode in me, changing me, Gloria and our children. The solid pillars of our future were being put into place. What a time it was. Powerful, soul-winning campaigns filled with the Word of God and every kind of miracle one could ever hope to see. Brother Ken Copeland got to travel as a student, hardly knowing anything.
That's right.
He got to travel in the Crusades.
A 30-year-old freshman.
And he got to see and witness the miracle.
God just put him in that spot.
What if Brother Roberts was content never to have a miracle, never to have a sign, never to have a wonder? I remember the story of when he got desperate for God out there in Enid, Oklahoma.
You have to do what the Lord tells you.
Praise God.
Even if it looks impossible and unreasonable, you follow through with the plan. Once you know it, you do it.
What if Ken hadn't seen him do miracles? God do miracles through him? What if he hadn't witnessed anything at all? Would it have changed you? I doubt it. Bless the Lord. Because when Brother Roberts preached that powerful word, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if he didn't demonstrate it, how could you be changed?
That's true.
But he did. And Brother, of course, he said, what a time it was. I'm reading again from Brother Ken. Powerful soul-winning campaigns filled with the word and every kind of miracle one could ever hope to see. The first thing driven home to me was John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Here's what Brother Roberts taught me. God is a good God.
Yes, that's right.
And the devil is a bad devil. I saw it. I saw a line drawn right down the middle of that verse. Jesus never does bad things.
That's right.
The devil never does good things, period. Jesus came to bring life, God's life, abundant life. The devil is a thief, a killer, and a destroyer. Praise the Lord.
It's the truth.
And he saw it demonstrated when those poor people would come up there. And they had been stolen from. Sickness steals from you.
Oh, I remember Ken talking about this little girl on a stretcher. And she was totally paralyzed. She could not move anything but her eyes. But Brother Roberts would say, now when I pray for you, you do something you couldn't do before. You remember hearing that? You do something you couldn't do before. So this little girl on the stretcher, Brother Roberts prayed for her. And all she could move, Ken said, were her eyes. And she started moving her eyeballs. Just moving her eyeballs, and up she came off that stretcher. I mean, he saw miracles. I was at home with the kids. I saw Kenneth, and Kenneth saw miracles. But it was a marvelous thing, a marvelous opportunity to see the power of God move like was happening in those days, in those meetings.
Oral Roberts knew to tap the power.
He did, and he did it.
And that demonstrated it to others. Kenneth Copeland, whose future God knew, mm-hmm. He'd be on television, he'd be wherever he is, and you'd be having a healing service. He had to demonstrate to you. He had to get you to a place where you
that's
could see
right.
the demonstration.
Yeah, that's right.
That he is alive.
Hallelujah.
Praise God, hallelujah.
He still demonstrates. That's what he does.
He demonstrates.
Believers shall lay hands on the sick
and they shall recover.
That's a demonstration.
That is a demonstration, and the Lord working with them, confirming that word
with
signs following.
Right.
Praise
God.
Glory
to God.
In another meeting, this is Ken's letter again. Actually, one of the last tent meetings, I suddenly realized that Brother Roberts used his faith on purpose. Instead of just hoping and praying that something might happen, it hit me. He's using his faith the way a mechanic chooses and uses a specific tool on purpose. He said to me in the invalid tent, my first time to pray for seriously ill people, don't touch them until you're ready to release your faith. Wow, it worked. It still does. 43 years later.
Praise God.
And then that's what's on this little pamphlet they passed out at the funeral. There's quite a story about this little boy, but I've forgotten it. Or little girl, I can't remember. Brother Robert said, as I laid my hands on people, God showed me that my heart was in my hands and that my heart was moved toward
my
the people as
hands.
Jesus was moved toward people. And through my hands, I took the power
of God to people. Now listen to this. One of the things, this is Ken again writing, one of the things that has simplified my life and ministry decisions was this word of wisdom through Brother Roberts. The first two questions that must be answered are, will it meet the needs of the people? And will it win souls? Their needs come first, not mine, and not the ministry's. God still wants to meet people's needs.
That's right.
He's still moved with compassion, like he was toward the widow of Nain when her son was there dead. Mm-hmm. And like he was moved toward the blind and the lame. But now he's the head and we're the body. And these signs shall follow them.
That's right.
That believe.
Praise you, Jesus.
There are so many wonderful, powerful, life-changing truths, Ken writes, that I learned from the Word through him, Brother Roberts. But the truth of the power of a faith-filled seed totally revolutionized my existence and is still a working, ongoing revelation in my life. Seed time and harvest has changed the way untold millions of believers conduct their lives. Don't ever try to accomplish anything without first sowing the seed. This is what he learned from Brother Roberts. It is impossible to reap a harvest without the seed of faith being sown. Oh, how truth it is. What truth it is. Nothing exists on this earth that didn't come from a seed. I think about Jesus. He became this seed. He went into the earth. He was sown. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. And then this comes up in his body that's in the earth. All this is a seed from his resurrection. He was planted. And then he was resurrected. And our ministry on this earth is to be a manifestation of that seed that was planted that came up, the resurrected power. And it says that they went everywhere in that early church, working signs and wonders and giving witness to his resurrection.
Amen.
We'll talk about how we're to do it next week.
Great. Good. This has been good, Billy. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you right now. Father, we thank you that
thank
you're
you,
present
Lord.
To heal. All over
oh,
wherever
Lord,
these words are being spoken,
thank
you're present. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
thank
we
God.
Rebuke sickness and disease in your name, Lord. And we command in the name of Jesus, be healed. Be made whole. Begin to do what you couldn't do before. Take it. Say, I take my healing
take
right
my
now.
Healing right
and you
now.
Begin to move and to do
Hallelujah.
What you could not do before by the power of God. Glory to God.
Glory
and
to
then
God.
You say, I have it. I take it. I have it.
I
am
it.
Healed in
I
the name
it.
Of Jesus.
I am healed.
Glory
in the name
to God.
Of Jesus.
Billy and I'll be right back.
Come to these exciting meetings. The Behind the Mission Weekend, April 16th and 17th at the Grand Hyatt Atlanta in Atlanta, Georgia. For free pre-registration, visit us at kcm.org. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family. George and Terry Pearsons, Steve and Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. For more information, go to kcm.org.
This is offering day, and I remember, I don't know if it was Brother Hagin or who said this, that they were so poor they couldn't pay attention. Where did that come
that was
from?
Brother Hagin.
Well, that's the way we were when we began to hear the truth from Brother Roberts and Brother Hagin about the Lord will meet our needs. We had no money. We had bills. We were in debt. But I tell you, we began to act on the Word of God. And the Word says that He, my God, shall supply all
of your
need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So our abundance, your abundance, doesn't have to come from you. It comes from Him.
Hallelujah.
We serve Him.
Thank
we
you,
worship
Lord.
Him. But what we did learn from Brother Roberts was to sow a seed. Mm-hmm. I tell you, we sewed back there in Tulsa when we needed money and we needed groceries, and Ken was just a student, you know. We sewed and we reaped. And so I'm going to pray. Bill and I are going to pray over your finances today. And you determine what your seeds are going to be. You don't have time perhaps to go get it because we're going to pray right now. But just say, I'm going to sow this seed, make up your mind, and we're going to pray over it right now. Father, Billy and I pray for the people. We pray over their finances, Lord. We believe, we know that your word says you're the one that supplies all of our needs, not according to what's happening in the earth, but according to your riches and glory. Glory never has a depression. Glory never has problems financially. It's there. It's always there for us. And so right now, I pray for the people, Father, and we take it with us. They take it with us now. Take your help. Take your financial help. Say, I receive my help from heaven. I receive my finances come into me in Jesus' name. I sow my seed and I reap by faith my harvest. Now, when you pray, when you sow, you believe you receive it right there, then you receive your healing. And in the name of Jesus, Billy and I come into agreement. We command the blessing upon you.
Thank you, Lord.
Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Every financial need
Hallelujah.
Met. Be healed in Jesus'
Hallelujah.
Name. Every sickness and deficiency healed in the name of Jesus. You know, all we have to do is just take it. We take what the Word says. We take this scripture in Philippians. It says, my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That
Hallelujah.
Overcomes every obstacle. You be healed. You take your healing. It says, by His stripes you were healed. Just say, I take it. I take my healing. I take my blessing in Jesus' name. Now you receive it. You be blessed in Jesus' name. Billy and I'll be back next week, and we will continue to share wonderful things from the Word of God. This is Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim reminding you that
Jesus is
Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Visit our website at kcm.org. There you can purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD or a copy of today's product. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a resource of study tools designed to give you hope and help you find the answers you're looking for. You can also call our prayer line, 800-600-7395, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have faith in God and walk in the blessing today.